welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that if you missed the beginning of the show or you want to listen to it again, you can go to our website, which is www.nagb.org.bs, and go to the education menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and the MP3 is there, and you can see a photo and you can listen to the show again. I am continuing with the Tingham Collective that are in the studio tonight, led by Tiffany Austin, an assistant professor at UB. I can't believe you've been here for 2 years.
I know.
How's it been?
It's been great.
Yeah?
It's been great. I've been working hard trying to with the students and just creating a creative writing community.
Mm-hmm. Now, where were you before? I forgot.
The university I was mm-hmm. before, I was at Florida Memorial University
right.
in Miami for some years before coming
okay,
here.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a very loaded question, which you don't have to answer. I feel like my people are particularly good with words.
Okay.
I feel like Bahamians telling stories is something that comes naturally. Do you find that as a creative writing teacher? I mean, I understand that there's a difference to the craft, to actually getting someone who's got a good story, to get them to be able to communicate that in a certain way.
Right.
But how is it being here? Is that something that you find?
I find.
Or is it just my national pride?
I find that, you know, when you talked about earlier about the space and being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that that's more difficult.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But then when you're there, then it's the storytelling does come.
Mm-hmm.
And the honesty
mm-hmm.
comes with the storytelling. That's what I've found.
Yeah.
But I tell the students that I don't want the space to be comfortable, but mm-hmm. I want it to be safe.
Right.
That you're able to express things that maybe you wouldn't be able mm-hmm. to elsewhere.
Which is, again, something that we try to do at the NAGB as well, because mm-hmm. obviously in the visual arts, too, we cover a lot of topics that people might not want to be confronted with, or they might not want to think about, or
right.
they might want to sweep under the carpet. And I think that's really what the arts are, right? So whether
exactly.
it's the, you know, music, writing, dance, I mean, it's a way of, it's communication. And
right.
sometimes that's all about beauty and fun, but sometimes it's not. And maybe the not is almost more important, because that's the part that we shouldn't keep bottled up.
Exactly, especially yeah. in these times. And
yeah.
I think that's why I had them write the assignment of the Landy,
mm-hmm.
right, to be critical of our political and social situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something to shy away from.
So the Landy, before we hear from the two young people that just whipped in the studio in the break, it's specifically supposed to be something that is calling into question the status quo?
Yes, yes. And that could be in terms of war, home, love, so different subjects,
mm-hmm.
Separation. But it's kind of, you know, it was a way for the women actually to usually subvert the status quo and say something about society.
Okay,
right.
How interesting. Well, so let's turn to the young poets. We have two more in the studio right now. Tristan Arnold, who's a sophomore at UB. Welcome.
Hi.
The only man. How does it feel? How does it feel to be just surrounded by all these women?
You'd think it'd feel great, but, you know, it's kind of worrying.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, when you get like, we can be quite intimidating. I know that. So maybe you need to work through that in your work. And then we also have Kamisha Brown, who's a junior at UB. Welcome, Kamisha.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
So I'm good, thank you. I'm just going to ask you the same questions, too. What drew you to this class and to poetry in particular? Because it is a very specific, it's different to just storytelling, to keeping a diary, you know, where you can, oh, so today this happened. When did you get into poetry, and what is your driving force?
Well, honestly, I got into poetry because one day I was on YouTube and I was looking up the spoken word piece. When I lived in Freeport, there was this poetry, like this open mic night
mm-hmm.
going on at this place I used to hang around, right? And I went one day and I really enjoyed all the pieces, and it just gave me a new appreciation for, I guess, the art form.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on YouTube and I just was looking at all the different poets and spoken word artists, and it just really, I guess, captured me.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it, and I was like, eh. I mean, I'm not really much of a writer, but I try to do my little pieces.
Well, then it's interesting that you took this class, because obviously it's something that you want to explore more and improve on.
Right.
And I'm Tiffany smiling, so I'm sure she's encouraging you down that road. And what about you, Tristan? Is it something you came to later?
Yeah, I'd say it came
Tanisha?
A lot later in life.
Mm-hmm.
I used to like listening to music a lot. Like, my favorite rapper was Chance the Rapper before he, you know,
oh,
I
would
love sort of kind of blew up.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was this one woman who featured inside of one of his songs once. Her name was No Name Gypsy, but she dropped the gypsy part because it was kind of controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started listening to her music, and she didn't have much out. But like, I'd say a year ago, maybe, she dropped an album called Telephone. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of poetry inside of her rhymes, and it was really nice. And so, you know, college students need a certain amount of credits, you know. And so I was like looking at the credits, and I was like, huh, creative writing. It sounds nice.
Okay, so this is great, actually, because we have a completely different kind of group than the first group. So the first group are like, oh, I've been doing this since I was a kid. This is something that, but you're coming at it from a different way. So you've sort of just thought it was interesting, and you're trying to figure out if it's something you can do. And you were like, okay, well, yeah, let me just try this class.
Yeah.
And how do you like it? How is the class, aside from all the women?
Oh, no, that's a pretty good part, I guess. I mean, it's not that bad. And like, I think I really enjoy the parts where I get to actually say stuff about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, inside of work, I don't really talk about myself much, but this is, like, a different experience for me. Like, certain problems inside my head, I kind of get to, like, release almost.
Well, and I think you can make a connection to rap there, because, again, like, when you go back to the, you know, early periods, I mean, not even from the Bronx, but when you go back to early, like, gangster rap in L.A., it was really about sharing things that were happening in the community that no one really knew about, and a way of... you know, speaking about something that was unspoken. So I think that's, you know, it's interesting that you came to it through that route. Who wants to share some work with us this evening?
I'll go.
Kamisha? So now this is...
A haibun. And
okay. So, so another, yet another
right.
form. Okay, so Tiffany, Tiffany, tell us what it is, because it's not a haiku and it's not a
Landy,
it's a...
Haibun.
Haibun, okay.
So a haibun is actually a combination of a haiku and prose poetry.
Okay.
So at the same time, you're kind of detailing the experience, and then you have the haiku as another form of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It should sound similar.
Okay. Markings in a book. Scribbles of battling ants. Small words comforter. I wasn't always the girl who accepted her insecurities and her flaws. Even now, I'm still working on it. But it's a constant battle I refuse to lose. I thought that I wasn't pretty enough. Confidence left me. So I took to writing to help. It wasn't the conventional writing like stories or poetry. More like me simply telling myself that I was beautiful and good enough, and that I didn't need anyone but myself to validate that for me. And it did.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank
I think
you.
That takes a lot of guts also to come out and read something like that on the air. So thank you so much. And to stand up in the open mic and do that also in front of a lot of people. I mean, that's really something that I think is really very brave. Now, what about you, Tristan?
Oh, I wrote a haiku.
A haiku? Okay.
Breaths forming small clouds. Leaves return with the sunshine. Springtime rules again.
See, that makes me think. When I think of breath clouds, I think of cold weather.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah, it's kind of like after I came back from, I spent a summer inside Orlando, and then I went to California, and it was really cold up there.
Yeah.
Because I stayed in San Francisco, and then I came back to Nassau, and it's like, oh, wow, this is the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's very difficult adjusting when you go away. Why that experience?
Why that experience?
And why did you pick that for the haiku? How do you, in fact, that's a question I ask for both of you, is how do you decide what it is you want to write on?
I think everyone has their own, like, sort of process.
Mm-hmm.
With me, it's kind of like the first kind of thought that actually sticks out with it. When she said you have to include a nature element, I remember coming back, and that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, wow, my breath isn't showing anymore. And it was freezing over there. So I came back, and I was like, wow. And this stuck in my head for a while. And I was like, finally a chance to like let it go.
Interesting. And then also it's a visual. It's a very strong visual. Like I said, as soon as you said that, I immediately got the visual in my head of that thing of seeing that cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, you know, because it's such a you know, it's sort of fun in a way, right? And when you're little, you pretend you're smoking cigarettes by like blowing out your when you live in a cold climate, anyhow. And Kamisha, what about you? I mean, again, that was a very obviously very very personal.
I feel like when you do art like this, it should be personal. It mm-hmm. shouldn't be like, you know, it should be something that comes from the heart, that comes from your soul, something that you want to express. So I guess that's probably why a lot of my, at least the pieces I try to write, a mm-hmm. lot of them are more personal to me than.
And how does it feel when you let that go into the world? Is that a, do you feel different? Like, you've written it, and that's private. That's a private act somehow. Mm-hmm. But then you read it in the class, at the open mic night, on the radio. How is that to let that go out into the world?
It's honestly very nerve-wracking, because you don't know how people can actually take what you write or what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So this class really is taking me out of my comfort zone, because usually I don't write to say. I write to just, I guess, let it out and keep. So being in the class is just like, wow, I actually have to read this out to people and like hear their feedback.
Yeah.
But it's actually really nice hearing people's feedback, whether it be good or bad, mm-hmm. you know? Just hearing the criticism and the way that they want to help.
Well, exactly. I think the thing I think we need to understand generally is that criticism, if it's given generously, is actually about wanting you to improve, right? And is
exactly.
It's not about tearing you down, saying that's right. bad. It's about how do I improve this? How do I help you? How's it for you, Tristan, to get up and speak? Are you a natural speaker in front of the class?
I think so, because I mean, I never really was faster with my thoughts, but it's kind of a different experience when it's something personal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never mind saying what I was mad about as a kid, so it was kind of like the same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, this time when we actually critique each other's work, I feel a lot better about it now, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, someone's actually telling you how you can help yourself, what they think about your thoughts and what they get from it. And it's so weird, because people can get like a lot of different like ideas from your work. Like the last mm-hmm. piece of work we did, everyone had their own like idea of what I was trying to say, and I was like, "Whoa, I didn't think about all this when I was writing."
Yeah, well, I think that's actually very interesting about art in general. Again, right. You know, it can be music, it can be, you know, sometimes very often the intention of the artist is different than the recipient.
Yeah, how they perceive it,
and that's not necessarily a bad thing, because again, I think that's what's sort of beautiful about different kinds of art, whether it's visual or spoken, is that everyone will use their own experience. And receive it from their own experience.
Right.
And therefore, they'll see it from another point of view and interpret it in a different way.
Right.
So is this something now, since this was a class you took for credits, is this something you're going to keep doing?
You know, it's, you know, on rainy days, whenever I can't get my emotions out, I think I'll try to put it in words. I'll definitely try a lot more to, like, actually do poetry and stuff like that, come out to the open mic nights and stuff. But in the terms of me taking another class or trying to take this like to the next level, I doubt it, but it's always right there in case I need it.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough, right? Listen, right. We're getting honesty. It's what we ask for. So, but we will be hearing from you at the open mic night.
Oh, no, I'll be away with the soccer team for the university.
Oh, okay. All right. So
let's go Flamingos.
Go Flamingos with the soccer team. We call it football, but.
Oh, yeah.
I still get very confused. Well, that's a shame. You're going to be at the open mic night, Kamisha?
I will.
Good.
I'm
excellent.
Not sure if I'm reading, though, but I'll be there.
Well, I think if we have to create a nice supportive environment, and mm-hmm. then maybe, right? And I think partially that's what that's about, right? The open
right.
mic night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Somehow creating a space
yes.
where, like you spoke to, where it's safe
right.
and people can come and
right.
sort of share.
And they are. And you have the visual art there, and, you know, we're talking beforehand and talking about poetry,
mm-hmm.
and so it is. It really is. So,
well, I think what's interesting is always to remember that Antonius Roberts, one of his main art forms is the creation of these sacred spaces, mm-hmm. right? He's done one at Clifton, he's done one on Blake Road,
right.
and he's done one there at Hillside House, which is reclaiming territory for the Bahamian people, for and creating a space that's for us and is safe and beautiful.
Right.
So I think that's why it's so appropriate to have this event. there on Friday night. So again, that's on Friday night at Hillside House, which is on Cumberland Street. It starts at 7 o'clock and it goes till basically whenever they're done. Mm-hmm. So if you have a lot of poetry to read, then, you know, just keep on going. And that we're hearing from the Tingham Collective, which is Tiffany Austin's group of poets at UB. And we're going to be hearing from two more after the break. I want to just thank Tristan and Kamisha for coming on this segment and for sharing with us.
Oh, no problem. It was great.
Thank you so much. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.